This evening's scripture reading will come from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Good evening, everyone. Great to see you back this evening. And it's great to see some rain today. I think that's the first time in a couple months that we've seen it. I wasn't sure exactly what to do. I was very thankful for it. I thank God for the rain, but first time I've got to use my windshield wipers in quite a while I'm driving, so that was good. I was very thankful. You know, this evening I want to speak to you about investing in heaven's bank with Jesus. Investing in heaven's bank with Jesus. When we read the news today, we see a lot of different headlines. We might see things like the FDIC must rescue major banks. Embezzlement and fraud has been found. Insurance companies file for bankruptcy. The stock market experiences the largest decline in decades. We may wonder, is there any financial security today? Where can I put my money and not worry about it? Who can we trust as our advisor to know what is best for us? Did you know that Jesus is in the banking business? In our scripture reading this evening, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, "Do not store up for your treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, in Jesus, we see someone that is very knowledgeable. In John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, John writes, "But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." So we see Jesus as someone who is knowledgeable. He's also trustworthy. He showed this in healing the centurion's servant. The story in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. You may recall the story. The centurion came to him. The servant was paralyzed. He asked Jesus to heal him. And Jesus told him that his servant was healed without going to see him. Later we read that we found out that his servant was actually healed that very hour. So Jesus is trustworthy. So what better advisor do we have than Jesus? And what investment and what better investment could we make than to invest in heaven's bank? This evening I want to talk about what investment we're making for our eternal lives. What investment we're making for our eternal lives. When you think about investing, opening up an account, the first thing you need to do is, one, open up an account. Right? That's obvious. All banks have requirements for opening a bank, an account. Right? Everyone has that. Heaven's bank is no different. It's necessary to meet certain requirements. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Grace requires someone or us to meet certain requirements in his, God's, conditions. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So So what are the conditions for opening an account in heaven? Jesus requires faith. He requires repentance, confession, baptism, immersion, before he begins to place one's treasures in heaven. The requirements continue following baptism, which is the responsibility then we would have to know and to obey God's will. So opening up an account, that's number one. Number two, let's talk about risk. Well, that's a buzzword everybody likes to talk about, risk. Earthly accounts may claim to be risk-free, but they're not. They're based on national and world economics. They're based on political actions. You know, if the stock market crashes and the value of the dollar just plummets, our money will be worth far less, possibly even worthless. We saw this during the pandemic when many banks were charging a negative interest rate. You are paying them to put your money in their bank. However, this is not true of banking in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, he said, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Those who continue to do the will of the Father will enjoy a risk-free investment. Now, we can always remove our treasures from heaven. We can. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than knowing it, to turn away from the holy commandments handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire." So while we can remove our treasures from heaven, no one can force us to remove our treasures from heaven. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28, Jesus promised this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." By using the blessings that we receive from God to help build up the kingdom and help others, you know, as they continue their walk with God, we're laying up treasures in heaven. If we put our treasures into earthly things, though, we are not going to make preparation. We are not making preparation for heaven. You know, how sad it would be on the day of judgment to find our account marked insufficient funds or account closed. But we have God's promise that as long as we remain faithful to Him, we have certainty of being with our Father forever. That's the risk-free investment. So we've talked about opening an account. We've talked about risk. What about interest? What about interest? What about the yield that you get from your investment? Certainly no earthly account can boast such a high yield as heaven. When we obey what God asks us to do, when we give Him our talents and our time, our love, we give Him our life, we receive eternal bliss and joy and peace in heaven. It's a place so wonderful, it's difficult to describe it. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, there you may also be. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, John writes about heaven. He writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.'" You know, Jesus has provided certainty to us. Certainty to Christians that we have a dwelling place in heaven awaiting us if we remain faithful in the presence of God. A place where God will dry every tear and he will remove the source of every tear. There's not going to be any more death or pain or sickness or sadness in heaven. Only joy and love, where we're surrounded by God's glory. This greatest yield of all. So we've talked about opening account, interest. We've talked about a risk and interest. What about member benefits? Member benefits. You know, a bank or a credit union may offer customers special incentives, you know, to place their money in its care. Right? These privileges, you know, they might include things like discounts to restaurants or movies, you know, maybe wholesale clubs. You might get some nominal amount of money to invest in them. In the old days, we used to get like toasters and blenders that actually would work and last. Remember those days? You know, but Heaven's Bank offers members benefits that cannot be matched. They can't be matched. Let's just think about a few of those. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Christians are given the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. We receive strength during times of weakness. In Psalm 46, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And we know God's power dwells within us, especially when we are weak. And we know his grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. We also have comfort in times of distress, because we know that God is the God of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. You know, as Christians, we actually have hope in death because we have a certain outcome of heaven awaiting us. We have a listening ear and a watchful eye from our God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, Peter writes, "God's eyes are toward the righteous, and he attends to their prayer." In Psalm 73, verse 23, we have a loving hand that will not let us slip away as long as we continue to hold on to God's hand. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we also have a concerned heart. We can cast all of our anxiety on God because he cares for us. So what earthly bank can make these claims? None. None. Only heaven and heaven's bank can make those claims. All right, what about diversification? Diversification. That's been a theme of investing since as long as I can remember. way, way back. Diversification with banks, there's always that push, right, of diversification to reduce your risk. You can't eliminate it. But they want you to try to reduce it. They want your eggs in multiple baskets. And spread everything out. However, there are restrictions to our membership in Heaven's Bank. We aren't allowed to diversify our interests at all. We must be completely invested in heaven, or we lose all. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." If we divide our allegiance, we assure defeat. You know, many are owned by what they think they own. If we want to be with God eternally, if we want to be with Him in heaven, we must choose to serve Him, to seek His kingdom and His righteousness above all else. Matthew 6, verse 33. We can't serve Jesus and Satan. Try to have one foot in God's kingdom and one foot in Satan's kingdom. In Mark chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, Jesus tells us if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. And we know that God is jealous for our hearts. Right? He's jealous for our hearts. We are to give our full allegiance to God. We are to be exclusively committed to Him. No diversification. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, when the commandments, God's commandments, were being handed down to the Israelites, the text says, "Then God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." So simply, God wants all or nothing. He wants all or nothing. He wants all to be His servants. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus tells us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." God does not want Christians that are apathetic to His will, but those who are fervent to follow Him. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, it's a passage we looked at in our Sunday morning Bible class a number of weeks ago. Jesus warns the Laodiceans, and in effect all of us. He says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." We can't be lukewarm in our service and our commitment to God, having lost our enthusiasm for the Lord. God's not looking for diversification from us. He wants our complete commitment to Him and nothing less. And then finally, what about the maturation period? How long does it take to receive the yield? How long? Everybody wants right now, and a lot of them, right now. That's typical of the world. And as with many high-yield accounts, though, the maturation period, it's lengthy. It's lengthy. The ultimate benefits of Heaven's Bank can only be reached after death. It can only be reached after death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." You know, many lose interest at this point. Just not interested because they live for the here and now. They care very little about the there and then. But the there and then may be just around the corner. In James chapter 4, verse 14, James tells us, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes. None of us know how long we're going to live. And Christ may return today or any day now. We're just waiting. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus told a parable regarding where we lay up our treasures. It says, and Luke records, "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The man in this parable certainly was not looking at the long-term future, the eternal, his eternal life. He was focused on the here and now. So contrast that thinking of the here and now with focusing on the there and then. You know, our eternal life will last forever. It's going to last forever. It's going to dwarf our earthly life by comparison. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, that those who do the will of the Father will have eternal life. However, those that do not do His will, they will go to eternal punishment. So instead of focusing on the here and now, we need to focus on the there and then. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, that we are to fix our hope completely on the return of Christ, on Christ returning and our heavenly future. That must be our long-term goal. We certainly have to have a long-term view of our lives. You know, we don't actually own any money. We don't own any money. God has entrusted some to us on a stewardship. He expects us to use it wisely. Should we not make Jesus our banker, our advisor, since it's all His anyway? We can never go wrong trusting Jesus and investing in Heaven's Bank. Hopefully Heaven holds all to us, as we sang earlier. This evening, if there are anyone here that has a spiritual need that we can help you with, possibly enter into Christ through baptism, we just ask that you come now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.